On today's program, we'll look at the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Stay right where you are. It's coming up now. Hey there, you. Welcome to the program. I'm just sitting here sipping a cup of donut shop coffee, waiting for you to arrive. Now we can get the program started. My name's Gary Zimek. I'll be here for the next 30 minutes. Today is day 18 of our 33-day preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. And as we continue our week devoted to Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, we'll look specifically at the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We'll have some thoughts about Mary's Immaculate Heart. In addition, we will read the Mass readings. Today is a special day. It is the feast of St. Matthew the Apostle, so we'll take a look at some of the Mass readings. So we have plenty to cover here on the program. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for hanging in there, for participating this long in the total consecration preparation. We're over halfway through now. That's amazing. It's just incredible how time flies. But I hope you're getting a lot out of this. Judging by your emails, it's working well this year. Praise the Lord. Each year I do this, I get something more out of it. And I hope you're realizing that it's not the type of thing you do once in your life. Even though you make the commitment for the rest of your life, you're doing this renewal each year so that you can go through the preparation process and learn more about our Blessed Mother and why it is that we should consecrate ourselves to Jesus through Mary. As we go forward, remember, any questions you have, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com, and I would be happy to get back to you as soon as I possibly can. Quick note, if you want to find out more about my work or maybe invite me to your parish to speak, pick up one of my books possibly, you can do that by visiting followingthetruth.com. Now, even though I don't speak about it a lot in the course of this preparation for total consecration, my main claim to fame, if you will, is how to overcome anxiety with the help of the Lord. That's my primary focus of my apostolate, is to help people overcome anxiety with the help of Jesus Christ. And the reason I do that is because I'm someone who has always suffered from anxiety, and I know how painful it can be, and I know how much peace, on the other hand, we can experience when we really turn our lives over to Christ, and on a daily basis, and I mean really, we have to do this each day, turn to Him and have a relationship with Him. When we do that, then we can really win this battle each day, one day at a time. We're not going to win it for the rest of our life, but that's okay. We can win it one day at a time with the help of the Lord. So for more information, please visit followingthetruth.com. Let's pray, and then we'll get right into the material for today's program. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us another day to love you, to know you, to serve you. We're very grateful for the many blessings that you've given to us in our lives. We're grateful for the blessing of your Son, Jesus. We're grateful for the blessing of our Blessed Mother. And Father, we ask that you please continue to help us as we strive to learn more about Mary, as we strive to grow closer to your Son, Jesus, and ultimately to you as well, Father, through the help of the Holy Spirit. We ask you to please bless us and our families, those around us, our co-workers, our fellow students, whoever we may encounter throughout the day. We ask that you keep our Holy Father safe as he travels to the United States. We also ask for your blessings on the World Meeting of Families, which kicks off this week in Philadelphia. And Father, I ask that you take this show over. I hand it over to you. I ask you to speak through me on the program today. And please open our minds and our hearts so that we may be very receptive to your message. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary now, and we ask for her help as together we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Louis de Montfort, pray for us. Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, pray for us. And Saint Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You know, just because I say this at the end of the prayers, you hear this a lot, Saint so-and-so, pray for us, Our Lady of whomever, pray for us. Let's not downplay the importance of these great saints praying for us. We need help as we go through this total consecration process. We need all the help we can get. And when we say that, when we invoke their name and ask them to pray for us, it really is a great thing, and it really is a big help. And that's incredibly important for us as we go through the process. It's very important that we go through this process of not only preparation for total consecration, but throughout our lives. Whatever we do, if we ask for the intercession of the saints, they're not going to let us down. So we're part of this communion of saints, the saints in heaven, the souls in purgatory, those of us who are still on earth. We can pray for one another because we're all part of the church. We all make up the church. And let's not forget to continually ask for that help. It only takes a couple seconds, but if you mean it with all your heart, and it's a heartfelt request, asking a saint to pray for you, that saint's going to pray for you. And that those prayers will have an effect. I think we need to work more on, because I know I have this problem, we need to work more on really believing that prayer works. I know that sounds silly, but in the heat of the moment, when we are really up against a problem, we generally don't appreciate the power of prayer as much as we should. That comes over time. It's one of the things the Blessed Mother can help us with as we make our total consecration. And the more we pray and we see the results, the fruits of our prayers, we begin to appreciate the value of prayer. So let's continue to ask these great saints to pray for us, not only throughout the consecration process, but throughout our lives. Let's see, what do we have here? Today is day 18. Today we're focusing on the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This week is devoted to Blessed Mother Teresa, and on Friday we'll launch into the final phase of our total consecration, the week devoted to St. John Paul II. Then we have 5 days of review, and then we do it on October the 7th. We make our total consecration. But we still have plenty of time, plenty of material to discuss before then. Today, let's look at the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Father Michael Gately writes, Mary's role is to bring us face to face with the love in the heart of Jesus crucified. But what if when we're there with him, face to face, we don't feel moved? What if we stand before a crucifix, ponder the Lord's passion, and feel little or nothing? What if our hearts are hard and insensitive because of our sins? This happens. We all sin, and sin hardens hearts. Aridity and desolation also happen regardless of our sins. Whatever the reason, our hearts can be cold and unfeeling, and this could be a problem. Thankfully, the one who has a sinless, perfect, immaculate heart will help us. She'll give us her compassionate heart. She'll even let us live in her heart, if only we'll give her ours. And I'm really glad Father Gately is talking about this lack of feeling. Now, you know the teaching that the church offers on emotions or feelings. They're not right nor wrong. They're morally neutral. But sometimes our feelings can give us an idea about how we feel. That's why they're called feelings. So we could sense these problem areas. If our heart is completely insensitive and we're not moved when we pray, if we don't feel anything when we stand before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, maybe that's a sign that we need some help. And what Father is suggesting here is the fact that the Blessed Mother can help us with this lack of sensitivity or lack of feeling in our hearts. All right, let's see what he says. During our week with St. Louis de Montfort, we learned that when we consecrate ourselves to Mary, we give our whole selves to her. And Mary then gives her whole self to us. The emphasis that week was on merits. If we give our merits to Mary, she gives her merits to us. This is a marvelous thing. Yet Mother Teresa gives a bit of a different emphasis to all this. Her concern is with the heart. In other words, her version of a total consecration to Mary focuses on a kind of exchange of hearts. We give Mary our hearts, and she gives us her Immaculate Heart. For Mother Teresa, this gift of Mary's heart, through consecration, essentially means two things that are expressed by two simple prayers. Lend me your heart and keep me in your most pure heart. First, lend me your heart. By this prayer, Mother Teresa asked Our Lady to give her the love of her heart. In other words, she says, Mary, help me to love with the perfect love of your Immaculate Heart. Remember, Mother Teresa's passionate desire was to satiate the thirst of Jesus for love, and she wanted to do this in the best way possible. What better way to love Jesus than with the perfect, humble, Immaculate Heart of his mother? Here, Mother Teresa found the secret to living out her vocation to the full. Mary, lend your Immaculate Heart. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but if you look in some old prayer books, especially those who are dedicated to the Blessed Mother, you'll see prayers like this. You'll see this idea of, Mary, help me to love Jesus with your Immaculate Heart. In other words, she's helping us, or we're turning to her, we're asking her to help us to love Jesus with her very own heart. I mean, it's a deep concept, and it's one that might be hard to understand, but we really can take advantage of this great gift. And Mary can make up for the hardness of our own hearts. Now, Father Gately states, but can Mary really give us her heart? Of course, there's something piously poetic in this idea, yet there's truth in it. Now, I'm glad he said that, because a lot of times we'll look at things like this, statements such as this, and we'll say, well, that sounds good, but is it real? Can she really give us her heart? Now, Father Gately said there's truth in it. When Mother Teresa often said to Mary, lend me your heart, she meant it. Did she suppose that the physical organ of her heart would be removed from her body and that Mary would come down from heaven and give her hers? Of course not. The physical organ of the heart is itself but a symbol of a deeper spiritual reality. The heart refers to one's inner life and the seat of indwelling Holy Spirit. And the seat of the indwelling Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Now we come to the heart of the matter. Recall our week with St. Maximilian Kolbe and how he emphasized the bond between the Holy Spirit and Mary. Now, you remember that we talked about the Holy Spirit and Mary being involved in a marital type of relationship, a deep marital type of love. Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. He said that Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. Hey, I just said that. And their union goes even deeper than a spousal union. Okay. He went on to say things like this. The Holy Spirit does not act except through the Immaculata, his spouse. Hence, she is the mediatrix of all the graces of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we talked about that idea of mediatrix, the female version of a mediator. She is the mediatrix between of the graces of the Holy Spirit. The graces that come from the Holy Spirit go through Mary. Now, remember, we discussed that a few days ago. Let's see where we are. So if we want to love Jesus completely, ardently, and perfectly, as did Mother Teresa, then we need his Spirit of love, and Mary Immaculate brings him to us. Let us pray. Mary, lend us your heart, bring us the Spirit. Pray that our hardened hearts would burn with love for Jesus. Help set our hearts on fire with love for him. The second prayer is, keep me in your most pure heart. Or stated more fully, one prays, Immaculate Heart of Mary, keep me in your most pure heart, so that I may please Jesus through you, in you, and with you. This part of Mother Teresa's consecration to Mary is the most profound. She's not just asking for Mary's heart to be in her, but for her to be in Mary's heart. So this is a prayer to love Jesus through Mary, in Mary, and with Mary. This is something more than simply having Mary lend us her heart. To understand and live it requires a loving dependence and profound union with Mary. The day after tomorrow, we'll cover what this means and how we get there. Tomorrow, we'll learn more about Mary's attitude of heart. Now, remember, this material builds, so this isn't the end of the explanation of Mother Teresa and her Marian devotion. We're going to have more about this. Don't expect to understand it all. This is a deep concept. Essentially, what's happening here is Blessed Mother Teresa is asking Mary to lend her heart so that she can love Jesus better. And then more than that, Mother Teresa is requesting that she can live in the heart of Mary. I know, it's deep. It's hard to completely grasp. I'm going to tell you this, do the best you can. Let's see how the other material goes. You know, some of these concepts are not so basic that you'll get them instantly. They're going to take some pondering, some meditation. And even then, you might not grasp it fully. That's okay. It's good to know these things. And even in the worst case, when you go do this again, next year, the year after, you're going to hear these things again, and you'll get a little bit more. And I keep saying that because I really want you to believe that. I don't want to feel that if you don't understand everything, that you're not able to make your total consecration. That's absolutely not true. We just want to understand as much as you can. And you know, in all honesty, Father Gately wants to stretch us a little bit. He wants us to think. He really wants us to focus on the important thing, and on the important things of this total consecration. And that's what we're doing. We're learning as much as we can, and we are being stretched. We're being presented some pretty deep concepts, and you're not going to understand them all, but you're going to get what you can. Now, we continue to ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand these concepts as we prepare for total consecration. Today's prayer, come Holy Spirit, living in Mary, keep me in her most pure and immaculate heart. I mean, if you want a takeaway from this thing, I think the best takeaway would be that we are incapable, because our hearts become hardened, lukewarm, apathetic, whatever you want. Our hearts are often incapable of loving the Lord as much as we should. And I wouldn't take that personally. I wouldn't start to feel that, you know, feel any less of yourself, about yourself because of that fact. The important thing for us to remember is that there's help. And we need the help. So we're going to get the help we can through the assistance of the Blessed Mother. That's what we're doing here. Now, if you have questions, please email me, Gary@followingthetruth.com. Tomorrow on the program, as we begin, what would it be, day 19, we're going to look at heart pondering prayer. And I'm going to save this for tomorrow, but Father Gately talks a little bit about Mary pondered in her heart the good things that God was doing in her life. And he's going to go there and talk a little bit about that tomorrow. On Wednesday's program, we have a consecration covenant where we look at some of the specifics. I like this one. We've done this one in the past. This got a lot of interest. Mary's duties and my duties when it comes to the consecration. And he lists them all. And then finally, be the one with Mary. Be the one with Mary. What does that mean? Well, we'll talk about that on Thursday. And then on Friday, we begin the week devoted to St. John Paul II. But again, you need anything, Gary@followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Let's let the Lord speak to us now through today's daily Mass readings through Sacred Scripture. Today's a special day. It is a feast, and it's the feast of St. Matthew, who was an apostle and an evangelist. As you probably know, Matthew was a tax collector, and he was called by Jesus to become one of the 12, one of the apostles. Tax collectors were not thought highly of. They were, in fact, despised by the Jews. They were looked at as crooked and criminals and corrupt. I mean, you name it, that's how the Jews thought of tax collectors. So why would Jesus call somebody like that to be one of the chosen 12? Because Jesus doesn't operate like you and I operate. he realizes that we're all imperfect. See, the problem with you and me sometimes is that we think we're better than we really are. We think we're better than we really are, and we start to look at certain individuals. Come on, let's be honest, we do it, and we feel superior. Well, you know, I'm better than this guy. I go to daily mass. I read my scripture. I read my Bible several times each day. I pray my rosary. I'm a pretty good person. Yeah, I'm starting to feel pretty good about myself. And you see, Jesus sees us as we really are. That's the definition of humility. Humility is when we look at ourselves as we really are. That's hard for us to do. We see ourselves a little bit better than we really are sometimes, and we tend to look at others who we might feel are not doing a good job with their spiritual lives and feel a little inferior, superior. But Jesus doesn't look at us that way. He sees us all from the inside, so he knows what we're made of. We're all weak, we're all sinners, but we also have special gifts. Jesus was able to see that Matthew had certain gifts, and he called him. And in the same way, our Lord can use us to do great things. God's got good plans for you. You can help him. He wants you to help him. What you need to do is stop fighting and really depend on him. That's really the secret. And that's one of the reasons we do total consecration, because we need that help. We're so busy fighting against the grace that the Lord gives us, or doubting ourselves, or being afraid to step out of our comfort zone, that we don't make the commitment, that we don't say yes, which is really what it takes. We need to say yes to the Lord. We do that, things begin to change. So let's look at the first reading from today's Mass. It's a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit. As you were also called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And he gave some as apostles, others as prophets, others as evangelists, others as pastors and teachers, to equip the holy ones for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the extent of the full stature of Christ. It's a really good reading because, you know, it reminds us that we all don't have the same gifts. But yet, as members of the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, the church, we all have a role to play. My gifts and your gifts are probably different, but we all are members of the same body, and we all can help advance the kingdom of God on earth. Really, really important to be able to recognize that fact and to be able to say yes to the Lord and to not desire somebody else's gifts. I think that's a big problem that we face, in that we look at other people, and I know I have to fight against this because I have this tendency. You look at other people and you think, well, if only I had his talents, I could really go far. If I had her looks, I'd really be able to make an impact. If I had this person's speaking ability, oh boy, I could preach about Jesus Christ all day long. And we begin to desire other people's gifts. They're not our gifts. We've got our own gifts. If I'm too busy looking at the gifts that the Lord gave you, then I'm going to miss using the gifts that he gave me. And there really is no point, because he didn't give me your gifts. And if I spend a lot of time dwelling on the fact that you're a better speaker, a better writer than I am, that I'm not going to use my own gifts. So we want to ask the Lord, through the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, to make us aware of our own gifts so that we can begin using them to advance his kingdom on earth, because he's counting on us to do that. The psalm is one that's often used for apostle feast days, Psalm 19. The response, their message goes out through all the earth. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day pours out the word to day, and night to night imparts knowledge. Not a word nor a discourse whose voice is not heard. Through all the earth, their voice resounds, and to the ends of the world, their message. And of course, the reason this responsorial psalm gets used for apostle feast days is due to the fact that the apostles spread the good news in many foreign lands. That's what their calling was. That's what the Lord asked them to do. When the Lord ascended into heaven, he said, all right, guys, you take it from here. You go out and spread the good news. Now, they covered a much more limited ground than they would have been able to cover today. They couldn't travel by airplane or anything. But look, this is how the church was built. And the church still exists and will continue to exist until the end of time. It's a good thing that the apostles didn't say, I can't do this. It's too much work. What good's it going to do? Who am I? You know, they didn't question this. They went out and did it. And that's a great lesson for us. The gospel is from Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the customs post. He said to him, follow me. And he got up and followed him. When he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. The Pharisees saw this and said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? He heard this and said, those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. A couple great messages there. I love the fact that Jesus simply said to Matthew, follow me. That's all he said. He didn't say anything more. And what did Matthew do? Matthew got up and he followed him. The reason that this is so important, this is so significant, these two words, is it shows us the power of an encounter with Christ. Now, you know, or you may not know, I have written a book about how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The book is called Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps. The book's going to be coming out in February of 2016. And it's all about how we can have a personal relationship with Jesus. A lot of us use the phrase, but do we really have a personal relationship with Jesus? Many people struggle. Many people struggle with having this relationship with Christ. That's why I thought it was important. That's why I thought it was important that I write a book about this to help those who are struggling with this personal relationship with Christ. The point I want to make is this: when you have this encounter with Christ, all you need to say is follow me and you will be affected. This is what happened to Matthew. So please be open to having that relationship. Talk to the Lord every day. Do this consecration so that Mary will help you be drawn closer to Christ. Ultimately, we want to get to the point where we have a real relationship with our Lord. We're really talking to him every day. And along the way, we'll have a relationship with Mary as well. The other point that really jumps off the page in this gospel is that Jesus didn't exclude anybody. He chose Matthew. He went to sinners. He went to the people who were outcasts. Nobody was beyond the scope of his love. If that's the case, number one, we should feel really good because Jesus loves us. This proves that no matter how much of a sinner, no matter how much of a weak person we think we are, the Lord wants us, and he wants to use us to help him. And of course, the other message is, if Jesus treats people that way, then I need to treat them that way also. We can never say, I don't want to reach out to this person because they're too far gone. Jesus never took that approach, and we are also asked or commanded to take his approach. We reach out to everyone. We pray for the lost souls. We do what we can to bring them back. We don't get mad at them. So a lot of good stuff when we look at St. Matthew, and in his weakness, Jesus was able to use him to do great things. And we want to ask St. Matthew, pray for us, because you did a lot of things right. You did a lot of things right, and you followed the Lord, and you were martyred for the faith. And that's a really big thing. So, St. Matthew, continue to pray for us. We are out of time. God willing, I'll see you tomorrow night. I hope you can join me as we continue our retreat. Have a wonderful night. God bless.